I'm going to hit record now. You guys, good luck. We are recording. And we are on with Tig Notaro. She has been at it, as they say in the business, for several years. And Tig, we're so happy to have you on today. And Tig, tell us what do you fear the most? Let's just start there.
I would say this interview would be the most terrifying thing. This is Don't Ask Tig. I'm Tig Notaro. And you asked again. Again, you did it. Keep asking. We are not alone and nobody is hopeless. Everybody goes to shit. We got a friend in Tig. Yeah. Here to help me today is my good friend and neighbor, Sean Hayes.
Hi, everybody.
What do you mean, hi, everybody?
Okay, hi, listener.
Thank you. Sean, you are my neighbor.
I know. We live so close to each other, yet we're podcasting right now. And you'd think we would have had a social distancing visit. But I know you don't like to leave.
I don't like to leave. But before the pandemic, we had a fun game going where I would text you when I was going down your street and say, we're headed down your street, which I won't name right now.
Sure.
And then you come out and you pretend that you don't even notice us while our family honks and waves wildly, trying to get your attention, and you don't look up.
That's right. You wanted me to text like I was texting. And so we've done that.
It's fun.
It makes me laugh so hard. It's so hard not to laugh as you drive by. And it's even harder not to raise my head and look at you guys drive by.
Yeah. Maybe we'll do that since it seems like a safe pandemic game. Sean, you know, a lot of the world, if we're honest, they know and love you as Jack on Will and Grace.
Not as me, though, but as Jack, yeah.
You as Jack.
Yes, yes.
You play Jack on Will and Grace. People love it. And I think they'd be surprised how this, and I guess I say this because I was surprised how down to earth and authentic of a guy you seem to be. Because I think that you're so funny. I kind of fell for, and this isn't a backhanded compliment, I promise
you. I could see it coming from a mile away. You see it coming from your house to mine.
But I thought you were going to be somebody that was just nonstop jokes and bits all the time.
A lot of people think that.
Yeah, you sit down and you are ready and willing to have a real conversation.
Oh, God, yeah. It's the only way to get by, right?
Do you have to deal with people who expect you to be something else? I mean, obviously you have to, because anyone that's on TV and film, they're surprised when you're not exactly that person.
Well, you know, there is a exhausting, anxiety-filled expectation to be something and to be quote-unquote on, you know what I mean? And okay, this is what I equate it to. When you watch a late-night talk show and there is a funny person on, known for comedy, and they don't deliver, the person at home goes, yeah, I saw so-and-so, and they weren't that funny. And it's like, so there goes that expectation, right? And then conversely, if there is an actor on a talk show who's known for drama and only drama, and they say one thing that's funny on that talk show, people go, and they're funny. They can do everything. Right.
That reminds me of when I watch a band or a singer songwriter, and they're just singing their songs, and then in between they say one funny quip, and the entire theater is just they're laughing so hard, and I just am like,
right. The expectation is to always deliver and always be on, and to me it's kind of exhausting. And people are like, well, just, you know, f*** it. Like, don't, or can I say that on there? Screw it.
I don't know.
Okay. Screw it. They're like, screw it. Yeah. You know, just cut that out. So, and people are like, screw it. You know, like, friends are like, so just be yourself. But myself is incredibly boring.
No, I know. But Also, we're going to keep in, we're not going to edit out you trying to navigate whether or not you should say screw it. That's staying in.
Or it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, good. You know how you know how to find good content.
I do.
Yeah.
And it's look around the neighborhood and I find good content.
You're like a metal detector, but for content.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's our show. Sean, all right. You left college. I didn't even make it to college. You left college with a couple of classes short of graduating. And although that is glaring, I think everybody can see that. It hasn't held you back. Do you have advice for anyone who's thinking about leaving school for another opportunity? That's how I feel.
Yeah. Get out. Yeah.
Scram. No, look,
I think it depends on what your interests are. I think I was a piano major, a piano performance major with a theater and minor. Neither of which you need a degree to do what you to do those, right? And so either you can play the piano or not. It's not like you go for an audition for the Chicago Symphony Orchestra and you blow
it. And then they stamp it with approved on your certificate.
Right, right. Or if you blow it, you don't go, but I have a degree. They don't care, right? And it's not like you go in an audition for a TV show or a movie or a play or whatever, and they go, sorry, you didn't get the part, but I have a degree in it. Well, I don't care. You either are good or you're not at those kind of performing, you know, abilities. So I would say my long-winded advice is if it's in the performing arts of any kind or art of any kind, you don't need school. Experience is worth far more. But if you have a specialty, like you want to be a clinical engineer or like a, you know, rocket scientist, then yeah, I would advise you stay since it seems important.
Well, and if they want to be a rocket scientist, I imagine they want to be in school.
Yeah.
I failed 3 grades and dropped out of high school.
Are you serious?
I got my GED, which I will send you a picture of. My cat ate it because it was sitting on a table. And then I have it
framed. Which is the same excuse you gave in high school, yeah.
Yes.
And you're super, super smart and super talented. And what would your advice be? Kind of similar
sexy
to mine?
I think that I really struggle with school. I know it's the right thing to do to tell people to stay in school.
I think
and
high
get an
school
education.
Is a must. I'm talking about college.
Yeah. Okay. I'm talking about anything. I'm saying if you are 5 and you've had it toddle out the door, but I don't know. I felt, you know, it was a really special moment in my life. My stepfather, he was military. He's an attorney. He very much didn't understand me. And I dropped out and kind of tried to make my way in the world and in a way that he didn't understand. And we've been down a long road together. And when I had kids, we were driving somewhere and he said, I hope it's okay, but I started college funds for your kids. And I said, oh, that's so nice. And he said, but I want you to know that the kind of fund that I started, it's just any continuing education. If they wanted to be an artist or wanted to do masonry, whatever they want to do, it's there for them. And that was his big acknowledgement that it doesn't have to be a 4-year college, which is what he really
Well, that's really
for.
Interesting. That's fantastic. And has he kind of acknowledged to you in both of your older years that, you know, he now sees clearly what you were going after and now sees more clearly what your plan was?
Yes, it took him a long time. I would say 7, 8 years ago, he still was telling me I should go to business school.
Uh-huh.
And then after my mother died and we were driving away from Mississippi from the funeral, he was in tears apologizing, saying that he realized that I should be doing exactly what I'm doing. And he said that he finally realized that It's not the child's responsibility to teach a parent who they are. It's the parent's responsibility to learn who their child is.
Wow, I love and that.
He said, I didn't do that, and I am so sorry. And wow. I was just stunned that my mother was not around to hear that.
Right. Now, I don't know if this is a good time as any to bring up the fact that I did speak to your father.
Okay.
Okay, he's...
My stepfather or my father? Because my father's dead also.
Yeah.
I'm an orphan.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I spoke
so you spoke to my dead father.
Yes. And he was still questioning the metaphorical left turn you've taken.
You reached out to him.
Yep.
Okay.
No, he reached out to me.
He reached out to you. He knew
I'm
about
too busy to be looking for people. He found
looking
me.
Up dead parents. He said the most direct route to my daughter is through Sean Hayes.
Jack from Will and Grace.
Jack from Will and Grace. Here I've said that you're an authentic person.
Wait,
we haven't even gotten to a question yet.
Okay,
from the...
All right, but wait. I need to say, okay. All joking aside, that's pretty powerful what your father said. I think that's
my
really...
stepfather.
Well, you said father, but stepfather. Okay, fine. That's very
powerful.
No,
I know. We can rewind and I can prove you wrong. I said my stepfather.
Okay, I'm pretty sure you said father. So
you hear what you want to hear.
Okay, sure.
It is powerful. It's so powerful.
It's super powerful. But wait. The fact that he said... It's the parent's responsibility to learn what do you say?
He said it's not the child's responsibility to teach the parents who they are.
Right.
It's the parent's responsibility to learn who their child is.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's so awesome. And that's so true.
Yeah. I couldn't even believe it came from him because he's so, you know, without emotion and buttoned up and... And I need you to make eye contact with me.
Sorry,
what's Scotty doing?
I have a new child. My puppy, seriously.
Oh.
I'm trying. I'm 24/7. It's 24/7.
Well, listen, should we call you back when it's a better time for you?
No, he's fine. He's all settled down now.
Okay. Let's get to the questions here, okay?
Sorry.
Here comes the first question. Maddie writes... My boyfriend wants to run away and elope, and I want to have a big wedding with all the pomp and circumstance. What do we do? Am I selfish for wanting a big wedding?
Yeah. So elope. Here's why. It's too expensive. It's a bill that you'll have that only lasts for one night. Yes, is it special? But the specialness shouldn't be about the pomp and circumstance of it. The specialness should be about the
hoo-ha.
Yeah, the hoo-ha. The specialness should be about the fact that you two love each other and want to get married and spend the rest of your life. You can shout that out to the world on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter and reach far more people than you would at a wedding celebration, and it costs nothing. So I understand you
You're assuming that Maddie has a lot of followers on social media.
No, even if she doesn't, then that's a different kind of advice column.
Okay.
But I would save the money. It's not important to throw this big hoo-ha. It's only important to have the people who mean the most to you, closest to you during your special day. That's it.
That's the wrong answer.
Okay.
I had a big wedding. Stephanie and I were going to get married, just, you know, one of those one-on-one in Hawaii type things.
So this isn't a one-sided advice thing. You're going to go out and say I was wrong.
Well, we fight, we battle it out until you agree with me.
Because your producer said they want to get advice from you, Sean. I was like, great. But then now Tig's saying the opposite. But tell me, so you guys had a huge wedding and you would advise that you would do that because it creates memories and it's a celebration.
Well, I just was not ever somebody that wanted to even get married. I always had some rotating dating situation. And I just thought, well, I'll have a kid someday and then this spot will always be filled by somebody new, I guess, because I can't seem to pull off a successful relationship until Stephanie. And then the more we talked about it, and then we just ended up having a wedding, and it was a destination wedding, and there was 350 people there, and I would do it every year of my life.
Really?
It was so off the hook
oh,
fun.
I guess I didn't get my... in
the, you did the not. Well, we only invited 350 people, so.
I didn't make the cut.
No.
Okay.
But I do understand. I think, obviously, if you're in love and you want to be with somebody, anything you do is going to be
special.
That's
right. That's the advice. That is correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I just thought of a great title for a book if you and Stephanie ever, or if you ever want to write a book or a novel, just it should be called like a romance novel. Call it Until Stephanie. Next question.
I'm just allowing you time to really cackle at your joke.
That's not a joke. I think that's a good title.
Let's
okay, moving on.
Thanks for your question, Maddie. Send us a picture from whatever wedding you decide on. I know it's going to be beautiful. More questions right after this break. And I want to warn you, Sean, the next question is a real, hey boy.
I'm Tanya Mosley. In 1987, my sister Anita vanished without a trace. Decades later, thanks to DNA, we found her. But that's only the beginning of the story. She Has a Name is a new audio documentary that explores the search for redemption, confronting trauma, and healing in the face of unimaginable loss. Subscribe now to Truth Be Told Presents She Has a Name, where every revelation brings us closer to the truth.
I just feel like we are surrounded in this world by bullshit.
So how can you know what's real and what's not? Science versus, that's how. We answer questions like, does anti-aging skincare actually work? And what is your true personality type? And to answer these questions, we don't use opinions. We dive into the scientific studies, talk to the experts, and put it in a podcast that I know you are gonna love. Listen to Science versus on Spotify.
Okay, we're back with what I call a hey boy question.
Hey boy.
Do you like that?
I like it.
Yeah, they're real sticky ones, all right? Jamie writes, should I make a Facebook announcement that I'm getting divorced? Should I include that my husband is a cheater? The answer is no. You shouldn't do a I'm getting divorced. If you do, I wouldn't do it in a dramatic way of taking someone down. I would maybe, you know, if you're thinking you want to make the announcement because you'd like to be able to get on with your life in a not anxious and you know, like, oh, what are people going to think? I haven't posted about my husband or who's this random person I'm making out with in a picture. Maybe let people know that you've gone your separate ways with your husband. But I wouldn't go to the place of saying why it dissolved or that your husband is a cheater. I think that it's okay to share personal things. This is my feeling. I think it's okay to share personal information, but I don't think that when I say going negative, I just don't think you should do that. I think it's best to take the high road. How do you feel, Sean?
Oh, okay. Do you want to go first? Oh, you went first. So listen, I kind of...
All right, next question. Liz writes...
No, I agree with you. I think you have to work against the temptation of getting your anger out in that way. Because I know the desire is to smear somebody who's hurt you. But if you can take a beat, breathe, and realize that that only will make, like you said, it'll only bring more drama into your life, and you're trying to get rid of that drama. So I think that's something to consider.
Yeah, and if you do make a Facebook announcement, I would make it as neutral and authentic.
Yeah.
Because people are going to find out ultimately that he cheated and whatever
right.
happened.
Right.
But I think it's best to really try and rise above that kind of stuff. And it's going to feel better. It will feel better.
Yeah. And you won't regret it. You don't want to do something you might regret later, like in a year or 2 years or 3 years or whatever.
But I feel for you, Jamie. And Sean and I would say we will be thinking about you.
For sure. I'll be thinking about Jamie, and I hope it goes well, because I know what that's like to go through. I mean, not a divorce, but a breakup of any kind is always difficult.
Next question, Sean. We're going to be talking anxiety.
Oh, that's where I live.
Do you have a lot of anxiety?
Yeah, I'm on Prozac.
As you're biting your nail.
Yeah.
As you are biting your fingernail.
Yeah.
Liz writes, I'm dealing with some changes in my life. My fiance, new in-laws, new siblings-in-law, new house, new job. That's a lot. How do you cope with all the newness without your anxiety swallowing you up?
Meditation.
Do you meditate?
I did. It got me through some stuff. Yeah. Meditation really does help. Now, it really, and I thought it was, you know, hocus pocus, dumb crap, and I didn't believe in it. And I was like, but I was at my wit's end, and I would try it, and my doctor recommended it. And so I forced myself to do it. And it's really, really hard if you're not the kind of person to kind of slow down, and you do have like an ADD issue or an anxiety issue. But it's really, it's like, just like going to the gym or eating healthy or any kind of thing you don't want to do, is to slow down, really do it for yourself, take a few seconds to breathe. And I tell people who I love very much to just do that. And they, you know, I know it sounds so corny, so stupid. You can make fun of me. We can laugh about it. But if you do take a few seconds to just take a deep breath, maybe 3 to 5 in a row, it really helps. And I don't know why, it's magical. And if you can do start with 1 minute meditation, then work and do that for a week. 1 minute a day, that's 60 seconds. And then do just like baby steps, just like you do working out. Then you do 5 minutes, and before you know it, you'll be like meditating for 20 minutes and your whole life will change. The anxiety does really curb. Also, list making. Just write out what you're feeling. I do that a lot. I just write it out, and it really helps to get it out of your head and onto something. So, and then wait a day and read it again, and it really kind of organizes your thoughts.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. We're not going to fight about this. But I don't keep a regular journal, but when I'm going through a really hard time, I will write every day, because, you know, with time, you can just be, it just kind of gets gray and confusing when you look back at what was going on or why did I feel that way? And when you really have it right there in front of you to go back and reference, it can give you clarity. And
do you write down goals?
I do.
Yeah, I think that's super important too. Even the dumbest goals. Like, I really got to organize my underwear drawer. Whatever it is, I really want to be president of the United States. This is what I want.
After you organize your underwear?
Before. Uh-huh. So, but from the most inane to the most incredible, just write down your dreams, goals, desires, whatever it is. I think that's really important, and it really changes your life.
Liz, take some deep breaths. You're going to get through this.
Yeah.
You're going to get through this. And be glad you found somebody on this huge planet that's in outer space. You found somebody. Be glad that you have a job. Remember those positive things. Focus on that too. So hang in there, Liz. Next question. We're going to talk coming out, something
I have
we
yet
don't
to do.
Know about. We don't know anything about, but we will try to help you.
I was going to come out on your program just as a boost to your ratings.
Thank you for calling it a program. And Kate writes, how do I come out to my family without making it a big deal?
Oh, yeah. How do you come out to your family without making it a big deal in the exact same way you just wrote that question, I think, right?
Yeah.
It's like you, if you don't put weight on it, I don't think, you know, other people shouldn't put as much weight on it. So if you don't like, I have this big news, I need you to sit down, I need to talk about, you know, if they're just, if you throw it away like past the salt or, you know, past the gravy, then I think it should be.
Past my sexuality.
Yeah, over here, right. I need to put it on top of my pasta. Don't you think that the less weight you put on it, hopefully the less weight the listener will put on it?
Well, yeah. I mean, it goes back to the, it's all in the delivery.
Yeah.
It's so important whether you're delivering a joke or heavy information, you can't build it up. And I think that there must be something in you that knows that it's not going to be that big of a deal, because your question is, how do I not make it a big deal? Because you're saying if you don't make it a big deal, likely it won't be a big deal. So it sounds like you probably, what I'm reading into that is you probably come from a family that has led you to believe that you would be accepted.
I would like it, wouldn't that be fun if somebody wrote in with the question, how do I make it a gigantic deal? And because I have lots of thoughts about that. I have like party planning numbers. I have fun home. Like
everybody, sit down. Everybody, just sit down. Jesus,
sit down and shut up.
Sit down. I've been thinking about this for years. How do I? I don't know where to begin. I always thought it'd be funny to come out as bi curious to your whole family on a holiday.
Sure.
And make a grandmother be like, what? What is that? You, it's just like, well, you know, I'm not sold on doing anything about it. I'm just curious.
Yeah.
I just keep thinking about all the genitalia.
I just want you to know what's going on in my head.
Yeah. I just want you to know what I'm privately thinking about and I'm just curious about.
Right.
It just ruined everyone's Christmas for no reason.
Right.
But yeah, Kate, I think you're going to be fine. Plus people are there's so much going on in the world right now that
it's a perfect time
coming out. Yeah, it's just, it's going to be, people are going to fall asleep halfway through your coming out.
Right.
But I would say if you want to make it no big deal, walk in holding hands and just this is my person.
Maybe it's better a slow burn if you just say, hey, by the way, I just wanted to let you know I'm gay. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't hopefully change anything between us, but I've been dating so-and-so. And if you're open to it, I'd love for you to meet them.
You know what I did? I'm very close with my friend Shannon and her family. And when I had my first girlfriend, and I used to go to Louisiana every, it's the third weekend of August every year, is Shrimp Fest. And I'd go out for Shrimp Fest out into Cajun country. And so I called my friend Shannon's aunt, Sheila.
Shrimp Shannon.
And I just... Shrimp Shannon, called Shrimp Sheila, Aunt Shrimp Sheila. And I just told Sheila that I just wanted to let her know that I had a boyfriend that I was bringing out to Shrimp Fest, and her name is Molly. and then Sheila really had a good laugh about that.
That's good. See, you did it in a clever way.
Yeah, so you can use that, Kate. Take your person out to Shrimp Fest to Louisiana and let everyone know that that's your new boyfriend.
That shrimp isn't just for dinner anymore.
Shrimp Sean.
Shrimp Sean.
Oh, Shrimp Sean. All right. So that's our final question. And let us know how it goes, Kate. Before we go, we're going to help one more person, but it's a person from the past.
Okay.
This is advice of yesteryear.
When Jerry brags about taking Ginny out, he learns that she dates all the boys.
So as we see now, menstruation is just one routine step in a normal and natural cycle.
How do you choose a date?
Well, one thing you can consider is look.
I did everything you said, but my boss still hasn't asked me to lunch.
We take a real question from an old advice column, and we try to be more helpful than the original answer.
Okay, this is interesting.
Okay. This is from 1934.
Okay. Is this real?
Mm-hmm. This is real.
All right.
Dear Miss Fairfax.
I'm already on board.
That's all we have.
Okay. So.
Dear Miss Fairfax, I just can't get along with my mother. This is really serious. Sometimes I think I hate her. We have just had one of our per usual discussions. This is a polite form for it. I am just hateful and mean to her. She says she can't understand how I can be so mean when I am so extra nice to folks who don't give a flip for me. Signed, DCR.
What's the last sentence she said? I don't what?
She says she can't understand how I can be so mean when I am so extra nice to folks who don't give a flip for me. You know what strikes me about this question mm-hmm. is I'm surprised that in 1934 they used that slang of you don't give a flip for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's clearly disguising the other F word. I mean, do you have any advice for this person who can't get along?
One, the advice is it's probably too late because that's from 1934, right?
Yeah, this person's like just a skeleton in a box.
I kind of don't understand the issue. So she's mean to her mom and she doesn't know why. Is that what it is?
She's mean to her mother and she thinks she might hate her.
Okay. So yeah. I don't see a problem with that.
She's hateful and mean to her. You're all for take down your mother.
No, I loved my mom, but...
Did you ever feel like you hated your mother?
No. She was always the most loving, caring, sweet, kind, hilarious, dark humor, funny woman. So I can't relate to that, but you know, it's interesting that it's not from a son. You know, I think it's always mother... daughter relationships are always as interesting as father-son because mm-hmm. it always seems the reverse to be a stronger bond, right? The mother and the son and the father and the daughter. But so, yeah, I don't know how to respond to this one only because I need to know more information. Like, why is she upset? Why does she...
Yeah, I don't think we're going to be able to get the information that we need.
Do you want to try?
With a Ouija board?
Sure.
I mean, you got in touch with my dead father. Why wouldn't we just get in touch with this bag of bones under the ground?
Bag of bones.
Let's see. We do have an answer, though.
Oh, okay. What is it?
Mothers and daughters often disagree because mothers love their daughters very much and often try to present them with their 20 or 30 years wisdom gleaned from experience. But alas, the youngsters prefer to find out for themselves, which is only natural. It's easy to be nice to outsiders who do not annoy us about wearing our rubbers and what time are we coming home. But do try to be properly sweet to the only mother you have.
Right. I mean, unless the mother has some issues with the daughter. And is the daughter behaving? You know, sometimes it's like a daughter is reacting to something that she's not getting from the mom, right? So a lot of times daughters will react without knowing it because they're not getting the love, appreciation, attention, whatever it is from the mom. And the mom, because mm-hmm. the mom doesn't know how to deliver that. So the child will react accordingly. And without communicating what you're feeling or lack thereof, you can't fix it.
But most importantly, flip is one of the dirtiest words you can say in the 1930s, apparently. And you know what? Before we head out, I just have one more thing.
Yeah.
I give people advice all the time, and now I'm realizing I want advice.
Okay.
Because something came up in my life.
Okay.
Okay. We hung a swing in our front yard. In the tree in our front yard so that we had somewhere to go and something to do.
There's the first problem, yeah.
Okay. It's beautiful.
Okay.
It's so fun.
Okay.
Front yard swing.
Okay.
There is a woman, a mother, who comes by daily with her precious two-year-old. They come onto our property and she swings her little girl in my yard on the swing. Without a pandemic, I might go, well, that's sweet, a little weird, yeah. But how precious.
Yeah.
In a pandemic, I just want to yell, it's a pandemic! you know?
Uh-huh. Okay, so first of all, wait a minute. She does it without asking?
Does it? I don't know who this person is. And also, it's not like the swing is right at the sidewalk. You have to walk onto my property, up a little hill.
Next thing you know, you're going to wake up. She's going to be in the middle of you and Stephanie in the bed.
Exactly.
So wait a minute. So now, and does it happen often?
Near daily.
No way.
Yeah. And I told Stephanie I was going to mention this. She was like, oh my gosh, what if she's listening?
She's not listening.
But what if she knows that we live here and she's like, oh, they won't care.
You know what though? Then thank God she's listening, because this is, I don't know that.
It's weird, right?
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know that that's a thing that one should do. At least I would just ask, like, hey, do you mind if I come on your property and use your swing set? I think that's weird.
I do too.
And it's not like you're being selfish, like, oh, anybody can use it if they want. But at least A, ask. B, don't presume. And C, there's a pandemic.
Yeah, because then I don't want my kids to go on the swing after.
Right. So why don't you say that? So next time she does it, you go out there and go, hi, I'm so sorry. Under any other circumstances, I'm so happy for you to use our swing. It's just, these are unusual circumstances. There's a pandemic and I don't have enough hand sanitizer to keep wiping the things. Is it okay if we hold off until this is settled?
Totally reasonable. I'm curious what other people might say that are listening. Do you have any sort of problem you want people to write in and help about?
Oh gosh, do I have a problem?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the list is too long for. There's no time.
Okay. Well,
yeah, I have a bunch of problems. I have things on my feet that I keep scratching my feet so much that scabs form.
Yeah.
Do you want to see them?
No.
You
Sean,
don't.
Yeah, here. Sean. Sean, we have to go. Sean. Oh. Oh my, Sean. No.
But you're looking at it.
That is disgusting.
Thank you.
All right. This episode is done. We want your advice, listeners, especially for my swing situation.
Not my feet?
Sean has scabs all over his feet. It's disgusting.
Maybe I'll just I'll come over and swing him off.
Swing the scabs off. All right. Send in your voice memo with your swing advice. And if you want to help Sean with his scabs too, send it to don'tasktig.org. Please help me. Sean, thank you.
Thank you, Tig. I love you.
I love you. Do you want to promote Smartless and Q-Force?
Yeah. In that way. Yes. Thanks. Just as like
Sean, a... Sean, do you? Come on.
Yeah. My podcast is called Smartless. I host it with Jason Bateman and Will Arnett. And it's super, super fun. And it's a nice break from all the nonsense going on in the world.
It's not a global sensation like Don't Ask Tig, but you can send in your own questions at don'tasktig.org, and we might try and answer them on a future episode. You can write down your question, or you can send it to us as a voice memo. Again, that's don'tasktig.org to reach us with your questions.
Do you want to try it again or no?
No way.
Okay. So you want to do one for real one now? Take. That was a good rehearsal.
Yeah, let's start at the beginning. Sean, thank you for doing this.
Of course, thank you. I love you.
If you're enjoying the show, please take a moment to rate and review us. Don't Ask Tig is hosted by me, Tig Notaro. It's produced by Thomas Ouellette, Mary Knopf, and Tracy Mumford. Our editor is Phyllis Fletcher, executive producer Lauren D. Engineering and sound mixing by Eric Romani. Digital production by Christina Lopez. Talent booking by Rocky Benlulu Dubin. Our theme music is Friend and Tig by Edie Burkell and Kyle Crusham, and Listen to Your Heart by Edie Burkell. Special thanks to Hunter Seidman, Lily Kim, and Alex Schaffert. Our executive consultant is Dean Capello and Gobsmack Studios. Don't Ask Tig is a production of American Public Media. And as always, thank you, Dana.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.